on the internet.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Confirmation. Wives, the data is in. Put the radio under your husband's pillow or recliner. You don't even have to turn it on. The number of, yes, dears, will rise on average, the average household now, 74.35%. Not bad for husbands. Good morning, Wes. The Lord's punishing me, making me cough. He is anthropologically male, right? Good morning, Wes. Good afternoon, East. Number here, 877-573-7825. Name of the program, Doctor is in. I'm the guy that they call the doctor. In here. Number, that's how you get in. Is, depends what you mean by is. Quote, a famous person in U.S. history. Why do you call? Well, that's up to you. You can call with a question about something in life. You can call with something's perplexing you. You can call for just general direction. You can call with a comment to help someone else, whether that comment is a personal comment or a resource. You can call with a generic question. Doesn't have to be particular. You know, it's kind of like the particular judgment and the general judgment. Yeah, you can have a particular question and a general question. 877-573-7825. I love getting past all of the intro stuff on this program so we can get down to the nitty-gritty. Family oftentimes is at odds. A lot of reasons for this. You can't pick your family, so therefore you have to try to get along with folks that you probably wouldn't choose to be friends with if they weren't family. That's a reason. Another reason is close contact, emotional contact, history. I don't want to talk about that today. I want to talk about why it is that people can get upset. Not just with family members, but pretty much with anybody. And conversely, why they can get upset with you. Many of you are trying to live moral existences. You don't want to hurt anybody. You don't want to do anything wrong. You don't want to be difficult. Now, given that we all don't have perfect insight into ourselves, to varying degrees, we all do that stuff, and we're unaware of it. But let's leave that aside for the moment. The crux of my monologue today is what causes those kinds of rifts between people, between family members, between relations, between friends. It is because you are not doing what they think you should. It is not a matter, I believe, in most cases, it is not a matter of morality. You're not doing anything wrong. It is not a matter that you deliberately set out to hurt someone, to be difficult, to be nasty. I'm going to assume that my vast listening audience of, now we've just gotten the numbers, 58 people. Well, we're skyrocketing. My vast listening audience of 58 people, by and large, if they weren't holy people before, are getting closer to holiness because, well, they've been listening. And if you haven't been listening, well, then don't blame me if your kids are going to be on Springer. But I have to believe that the vast majority of people listening right now, and there's a much larger group not listening. Has people get upset with them because they didn't act as those people thought you should? Have you ever noticed what criticism is? Criticism tends to be, I don't like what you're doing. Why? Because I don't like it. I think you should do it differently. I don't like what you've chosen for your family, for yourself, for your children, for your religion. I don't like it. I wouldn't do it that way. I don't do it that way. Therefore, I'm upset with you. The question we all have to ask ourselves when somebody's upset with us is, did we do something wrong? I think you'll find that much of the time you didn't. You didn't do anything wrong by having a fifth kid. What did you do wrong by homeschooling? What are you doing wrong by going to Mass more than once a week? What are you doing wrong by not allowing your children to watch certain things? What are you doing wrong by not letting your children have the freedom that their peer group has? What are you doing wrong? Are you breaking some moral precept of Christianity? Are you going against God's law? No. You are choosing to live a certain way for yourself, your family, your circle. And the anger or upset or disappointment or bad feedback directed at you is because you're not doing it the way I think you should. This is standard stuff. And I've wrestled with this. What is it? What is it about the fallen human conditioning? Now, some might say, well, that's exactly what it is, Dr. Ray. It's the fallen human condition. Therefore, explanation closed. Nah, but I got to go deeper than that. I can't just chalk everything off. Why? Well, we do that kind of stuff because we're fallen. There. Yeah, that's true. But it doesn't explain any particulars. What is it about folks who get upset with other people because they're not acting as they think they should? One of them is insecurity. If I think that your behavior is a reflection on me, you're not doing it the way I would do it. So therefore, you're commenting on the way I do it. So you choose to do it a different way, which automatically makes me wrong because I don't do it your way. Those of you, for example, who didn't do Santa Claus, you felt that, in fact, you could put more emphasis on Christ, and Santa Claus got kind of shoved toward the background. It's hard to get that fat shoving toward the background, but you did it. Well, did your parents get upset? And why did they get upset? Did they get upset because they said, oh, so you're saying that we did something wrong by telling you about Santa Claus? And then, of course, maybe they defended themselves for what they did. Santa Claus is part of childhood. My warmest memories are of Christmas and Santa Claus. So I think part of it is you're not doing it the way I would do it, and that by extension is the message you're giving me, which is, person, you're doing it wrongly, simply because I choose to do it differently. If I choose not to spank, am I implying that if you spank, you're wrong? If I choose to take a break right now, and I'm taking this break after I should take it, am I doing anything wrong? I don't know, but I better take it. Because if I don't, the computers will react, and they are highly sensitive to criticism.
Dr. Ray has more great advice soon. Don't go anywhere. One of the many benefits of homeschooling is the opportunity to tailor your homeschool program to teach and preserve your family's history, culture, and values. So how do you do that? One Mom offers her family's method on today's Homeschool Heartbeat with HSLDA President Mike Smith.
Homeschooling mom Deanna Trejo is joining me again today. Deanna, tell us about how you incorporate your Hispanic heritage into your homeschool program.
Well, Mike, one of the most important things that I'd like to pass on to my children is fluency in the Spanish language. I like to compare Spanish with a two-sided key. It is a key to their heritage and is vital to communicating with family abroad, especially their grandparents. Also, I like to think that fluency in Spanish is a key which will be useful for them in the future, possibly opening up areas of service or employment. With my first son, I had spoken exclusively Spanish to him until the day that we started preschool. He was pretty shocked and a bit scared when I started speaking English to him. With the other children, it has been more of a struggle to maintain the Spanish, as the little ones learn English from their siblings. I try to only speak English with the children when we do school and make them speak Spanish to me thereafter. Sometimes I have to ask them to translate what they have said to me in English into Spanish. I have them watch any DVDs in Spanish if possible, and this coming school year, we will begin to formally study Spanish grammar. Also, something that has helped us all is having our daily family Bible reading in Spanish and being part of a Hispanic local church.
Deanna, it's great to hear how you're incorporating your heritage into your homeschool experience. Thank you for joining us this week, and until next time, I'm Mike Smith.
How can the Homeschool Legal Defense Association help you? Find answers to important questions and discover how we can help you 365 days a year and protect your right to homeschool your children. Request your free copy of You Can Homeschool. Visit our website at www.homeschoolheartbeat.com.
Research has shown that the best communication, get your bottom to bed, is not only obvious but more subtle, eat your broccoli, and subliminal. Wash your hands after the bathroom. Therefore, in my ongoing endeavor to better help others toward more enlightened interactions, what were you born in a barn? Shut the door. I will, from this point forward, utilize all levels of conscious and unconscious verbalizations. Call the program right now.
Hey, no new age stuff here. Mostly middle age. Actually, that's sort of a misnomer. It really wouldn't be middle-aged. I have to live to be 173 or something like that for it to be middle-aged. This is Dr. Ray Grandy here on The Doctor Is In, 877-573-7825. The various and sundry websites. Oh, we got all kinds of great radio networks that carry the program. We got Immaculate Heart Radio. We got Covenant Network. We got Holy Family Communications. Ave Maria Radio. .net, they produce this program. The vast global network of EWTN.com. Guadalupe Radio. I know I'm missing some. We got Catholic Radio Network, I believe. Jimmy O'Loughlin's group. You got KVSS Spirit Radio. Big booming thing out there now. That Nebraska's a big state. And KVSS pretty much covers a hunk of it. I'd kind of like to be the hunk of it, you know, if I could. All right, let's do some talking here. Tana from Northern Colorado. Hi, Tana, how are you?
Hi, good, how are you?
I appreciate the call. What affiliate you got out there? Are you listening on affiliate?
You know, it's just called a Catholic radio.
So
I'm not sure.
Coming out of where? Coming out of Colorado Springs? Are you close to Colorado
it's
Springs?
It's coming out of Loveland, I believe.
Oh, that's great.
North Colorado, yeah.
Good to be out there with you folks.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you.
How can we help you?
Right now, I am being treated with medication for anxiety and depression.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm being treated by a family physician, so I have not seen a counselor. And I'm just wondering if I should be coupling the medication with counseling as well.
In your particular case, obviously, I can't answer that.
Okay.
I'll give you some generics.
Okay.
There's a lot of research that says people struggling with anxiety or depression, and sometimes they're a package deal, do well with a particular form of therapy, variously called other things, but the most common name is cognitive behavioral therapy.
Okay.
It takes a look at how you think, how you look at life, your perceptions, your beliefs, not religious beliefs, but your beliefs about the world around you, about yourself, about other people, and attempts to shape them up. Make you think more clearly, more logically, less self-defeatingly. And research has shown that that's fairly effective for a lot of folks with anxiety and depression. Now, if your anxiety and depression is biochemically based, now ultimately it all is, but I'm talking about there's something out of whack in your system. then medication is very helpful. That also, though, but here's the thing. It doesn't mean that just because the medication is helpful that you don't have bad thoughts. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it can't hurt you to get some kind of counseling, and it may, you may find, and this is not unusual, that through straightening up some of your thinking, you won't need the medication.
Okay.
Okay, that's a decision between you and your doctor, but it's not unusual for that to occur.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
All right, young lady. You
thank
take care.
Thank you very much.
All righty.
You. Bye.
Can I see the whiteboard? Yeah, I got it. There it is. Oh, thank you, Andrew. Loveland, Denver is KPIO, 1570 AM. They began serving Loveland and Denver. How cool. September 23rd, 2008. St. Pio of Petrolcina, Padre Pio's feast day. How cool is that? Years and years ago, I was on an affiliate, a Catholic radio affiliate in Denver through another network. And that, indeed, through various reasons, it went away. So I went away. I mean, I went to Denver sometimes and I'd yell. I'd say, "This is the doctor is in!" But I really couldn't get more than 70, 80 people within my listening voice. But it's great to be back there in Denver, even though I'm still reliving the drive with John Elway and the fumble, which kept the Cleveland Browns in the late 1980s from going to the Super Bowl. Not that I'm bitter or anything. Darina from Rochester, New York, Holy Family Communications. Hi, Darina.
Hello, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I'm doing fine, my dear. How are you?
Great, thanks.
Atta girl. How can we help?
Well, I have an 8-year-old, soon to be 9-year-old daughter, and of course, I'm home.
Sorry. Can't help you on that. That's that. You know, God's gone, "Hey, I can create a universe, but managing the complexities of a 9-year-old girl, I don't know."
It is hard. It is definitely hard.
Don't you just like guys? I mean, if you raise a boy, you can just kind of like throw him outside and let him eat bugs and stuff and urinate in the backyard somewhere and yell at him for that. But the girls are a little more complex sometimes.
Yes, they are. Very dramatic, I'm finding out.
You're finding that out, huh?
Yes.
You know what it is? Now, Darina, there's no difference between boys and girls. You're just socializing them differently. That's all. Don't you realize that?
Obviously.
Yeah. You feel like you're on her all the time, do you?
Yes, exactly. Mm. I feel like I'm taking away her summer. I mean, taking away her DS, her computer, grandma's house. My original thing was I'd have her write down sentences 10 times like I've heard you.
10 times? You parenting sissy? You wuss.
It's a long sentence.
It better be a 500-word sentence.
I'll let her know that she's listening right now. She's crying because I've been threatening to call you for the longest time.
Yes. You called Dr. Evil. You pulled out the psychological nuclear warhead.
I did. I finally gave in, and I said, "I can't do this anymore. I have to call Dr. Ray."
I am going to, in nonverbal, because guys are pretty much nonverbal, I'm going to nonverbally describe you and then nonverbally describe me. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. This is you with your daughter as you discipline. Are you ready?
Yes.
This is me when you call me regarding your daughter's perception of my discipline. Do I make myself clear?
Yes.
Here's the thing. I hear what you say all the time, which is, "I am on this kid constantly. It's not doing any good. Our relationship is deteriorating. I feel evil. I feel like I'm saying, and your little dog, too."
Exactly.
Now, my dear, there's good news and there's bad news. The bad news is you probably are on her too much. In the sense that you're yapping at her, you're nagging her, you're threatening her, you're reminding her, you're arguing with her, you're negotiating with her, you're badgering her, etc., etc. Yeah, absolutely right. That can make you feel like I'm hammering this kid verbally. Absolutely. The good news is, if you substitute real discipline for that fake discipline, you won't be on her anywhere near as much. You'll be much calmer. She'll be much more pleasant. So, instead of 10 sentences, let's kick it up, huh? Let's make it a minimum of 50.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Hey, my daughter, my 12, just turned 13-year-old daughter, has had a string of 500 sentences.
Oh, no.
And when I say string, I mean 500, then 500, then 500, then 500.
Oh.
Yeah, because she did some pretty serious things.
Right.
And she was blacked out while she was writing her sentences, too. So, given that, what's probably happening with your little one is that, yeah, okay, she's a 9-year-old girl with her emotions and her view of the world, which, of course, isn't your view of the world, Mother, because she's smarter than you and she knows exactly the way things should be and you're just not doing it right.
Yep.
That's right. We got two women in the same house. So given that, you're disciplining her here and there. You are. I don't doubt that. But it's punctuated, clouded by too many words, too much negotiating, too much ranting and raving. Get rid of that. Cut to the quick with the sentences, whatever. You said, I'm taking away her summer. I'm taking away everything.
Yes.
You don't have to do that, dear. All you have to do is if you use those sentences, for example, or you use an hour's worth of labor, you're adding something. You're saying, here is the consequence. Here's what you got to do, little one. And while you're doing that, you can't do anything else. So by extension, there is no computer. There is no outside. There is no friends. There is no eating at a restaurant because you didn't do your sentences yet.
Right.
Okay? That's probably going to get you under better control. It'll make you feel like you don't have to go to confession every day and a half.
Yeah.
You know, you walk into confession, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I can't believe how I talked to my daughter. And then you look at the priest and you say, but you know, Father, if you had to deal with her, you talked to her that way too.
Oh, yes.
And he goes, I know, that's why I'm celibate.
Well, I have three other kids. I have four kids all together, and they're home for the summer, and I just definitely don't want the summer to be like this.
Yeah. You got to just take charge. Get her out of your face. She acts up. Put her in a corner. Put her in a room. Give her the sentences. Don't argue with her. Don't carry on. Okay?
Okay. That sounds great. Thank you very much.
Let me know.
All right.
And by the way, write an ugly letter to your school system.
Okay.
Tell them, how dare they close in June, July, and August? What do they think they're doing?
Oh, I love having them home, but under better circumstances.
Thanks, Trina.
Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.
All right, when we come back, we got Kelly, we got David in the line there, but this music's going to start here in a few seconds, so I will provide on this program psychological vaccine for Parentis Maximus Wimpus. Now, did you hear about that? Printed on the back of a leather jacket worn by a motorcyclist, it says, if you can read this, my girlfriend fell off. 877-573-7825. A couple of minute break here. Then, good Lord permitting, back with you. Having a great time. All these girls calling. Do I feel cool? And, well, David's there, yeah, but he found out where the girls are and he kind of showed up.
For 800 years, the Alexian brothers have served the sick, not as priests, but as Catholic brothers.
We're brothers because this is the life that God called us to.
In the struggle with alcohol or drugs or AIDS, the Alexian brothers are there.
We're looking for men who have the courage to live in vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. If a man is convinced that God has called him, then we have a spot for him.
If you feel a call to brother the world with the Alexians, call toll-free, 1-800-556-0332.
Ave Maria University presents Summer Barbecue with the Founder, featuring AMU founder Tom Monahan, Tuesday, July 21st at 5 p.m. at Domino's Farms EVA Cafe. Receive exciting updates about AMU, hear testimonies from students, and see the vision of how educating our youth for success will have a positive impact on the church and the world. The cost for this event is $10 per person and free for all high school students. RSVP by Monday, July 20th. For more information, call 734-930-3435.
Few people are fortunate enough to combine a career with an opportunity to serve the church directly. Becoming a lay minister is such a fortunate combination. And Detroit Sacred Heart Major Seminary is preparing men and women today for a first or even second career in lay ministry. Lay ministers are workers in the vineyard whose job is to change hearts and bring people closer to God. They serve as youth ministers, hospital chaplains, religious educators, and in many other fields. Students choose from certificate and degree programs in theology and pastoral studies, tailored just for the laity. Evening classes, satellite locations, and our easy-to-reach campus make it convenient to begin preparing for your new career and your new calling. Learn more at Sacred Heart Major Seminary's website, shms.edu. Hurry though, new student enrollment ends August 15th. Classes start September 8th. That's shms.edu.
Bless you.
I'll see you later.
Thank you so much for everything you do and for the humor and the joyfulness that you bring. I love to just chuckle and listen to you.
I hope Al Cresta never finds out what we do. I told Andrew, I said, you know, all these other big-time superstar radio hosts, they got all kinds of little taglines that talk about how wonderful the host is. I said, Andrew, why don't we have those? And Andrew's pretty straightforward. He doesn't mince words. He doesn't worry about my sensitive nature and delicate feelings. He says, Ray, we don't have any. So what do you mean we don't have any? I said, didn't my mother used to call? He said, yes. Didn't you get something from her? He said, yeah, but I couldn't put it on the air. So what we did, I gave him instructions. I said, start perusing Al Cresta's past programs, and any place where they don't mention his name, strip mine one of those comments. Throw it on our show. Nobody knows. Nobody's going to say, hey, that lady was talking about Cresta. Heck, yeah. This is Ray Grandy here on The Doctor Is In. 877-573-7825 is the number. All right. Wait a minute. I'll read this from C.S. Lewis, and then we'll go to your calls. Christianity does not replace the technical. When it tells you to feed the hungry, it doesn't give you lessons in cooking. If you want to learn that, you must go to a cook rather than a Christian. Ooh, way to go, CS. Sounds like you're brighter when you use initials, doesn't it? Like, I want to be R.N. Grindy. Because it makes it sound like I'm just carrying 30 more IQ points. David from Chicago. Hi, David. David.
Oh, you there?
Hey. Hey, what are you doing? You going out Christmas shopping or what?
No, I just wanted to give you an idea that I do.
Okay, I'll steal it.
I go and for St. Nicholas, he's got his own day, which is I think it's the 6th of December, 6th or 8th, and we actually give out gifts that day for as in Christmas gifts, and then on Christmas we get them something spiritual, and then give gifts so that they focus on Christ better.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I do.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that's pretty cool because they get gifts on 2 days.
Yep. I'll tell you, the kids at school get all bent out of shape about it. What? You already got Christmas gifts?
What a rip. What a rip.
Uh-huh.
You got a gift 3 weeks too early. Well, the key to this whole thing, David, is not just what you're doing for your kids, but it's the fact that you have the courage to say, as a parent, this is the way we wish to do it. We are going to resist the commercializing of Christmas and try to bring it back to some spiritual balance.
Yeah.
Well, I like that. Thanks, David. Okay, bud. See ya. David was on a cell phone, and of course, it was breaking up. And a lot of times people will call me on the cell phone, and if you want to get off, there's two things you can do. One, hang up on yourself. Nobody ever thinks you would disconnect yourself. So right in the middle of a set. See how it works? Or you can do this. Well, anyway, that's something we... See? Kelly from California is following up on Tana's call. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. And I am on a cell phone because that's all we have. So if I have to hang up on you, you'll understand.
You don't even have a landline anymore.
We don't. That's my husband's brilliant idea. We don't need a landline. If you want a cell phone, then you might as well just have cell phone. So it's working.
Do you have enough minutes?
Oh, plenty. Plenty. We never use them. I don't like talking on the phone, except for when I'm calling you.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yes.
I was going to correct you, but I'm glad you self-corrected.
Yes, I'm so glad. David's comments were wonderful, but you ruined it because my C.S. Lewis thing was a perfect lead-in to me.
Yeah?
And we got a break there. But
see,
we'll go
Kelly,
back to C.S.
Hold
Lewis
on, Kelly. Hold on. This is why you'll probably never get your own show. Because you immediately didn't assume that I knew how to segue into this. This is all planned. This is not happenstance stuff here, Kelly.
Okay, good.
Okay, thank you. I shouldn't have to tell you this.
Okay.
Yes, my dear. How could you help us?
So the cook.
Yeah.
The cook, besides just going to church and thinking that you can pray yourself out of this, I've actually talked to you before. This is Kelly and Tatchby, and I've talked to you many years in the past about my husband and our family. We have self-diagnosed him as having cyclothymia.
Okay, so he's got these moody swings, huh?
You bet. 20 years worth.
Okay.
About a couple weeks ago, he decided he would go ahead and go to UCI and see someone.
What is UCI, dear?
UCI, sorry, University of California, Irvine. They have a big psych department.
Okay.
And some good Catholic psychs, from what I was told.
Okay.
So he was excited about that. I was excited. I got on the horn. Then, of course, he cycled and said, I don't want to do that. So, the next solution, his mother came up with this doctor, now I've lost the doctor's name, but the website is, it actually says exceptionalmarriages.com.
Oh, that's Greg and Lisa Popcheck.
Okay.
Yeah, their program is produced here by Ave.
They have telephone counseling.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I think it's okay. I think that is gaining some momentum. Now, obviously, the argument against it is you can't draw conclusions on the basis of body language or subtle nonverbals and all of the stuff that therapists supposedly use skillfully. But by and large, the vast majority of information we get is verbal anyway. So, telephone counseling, especially, it is more important, in my opinion, to go to a therapist that one can form an alliance with, because they share your worldview and your morals, and they are going to give you good, helpful direction within the context of how you most deeply feel about life. Sure.
Okay. And so these guys, you would say, because I've seen quite a few on the internet since then. I was just looking for this one to be able to give you a name, and I found a bunch of other ones that I'd never heard of. But
yeah, that's Greg and Lisa.
Good Catholic. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Next question.
Sure.
This is more specific to him, and if you say this is specific to him, we can't really discuss it on the line. But he doesn't want to go or talk to anyone. Hmm. He's like a in-the-box confessor and never goes to the same one twice. So
has his moods dramatically affected his relationship with the kids?
As they get older, they're less tolerant. They understand more. Yeah, I have a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old right now. And they
they're becoming more of a what's with dad kind of thing, huh?
Well, not what's with dad, but it's hard not to get the roll your eyes, okay, he's just there, and we'll just ignore him for 3 months
mm-hmm.
or 2 weeks. It's more like 2-3 weeks.
Is he aware that some of those cracks are forming in his relationship with his kids?
No.
Well, that may be...
He's not a real... touchy-feely dad.
Mm.
He loves his kids desperately, but like the girl, you know, the girls are going through that. They'll be sobbing hysterically. And he's like, I'll talk to them. And he goes in to talk to them and says, they're fine. Like, what do you mean they're fine? I just talked to her. She said she was fine. If you have teenage girls, you know.
I don't talk to them.
They say
I don't talk to them.
Their mother talks to them,
well,
right?
Well, she does. I write out what she should say.
Okay, so you maybe understood this a little more than me.
I would, if you could, come at it from the angle of the kids, that they want to have a closer relationship with him, and they're getting old enough to start recognizing that this is harder to do if he doesn't get a better stability to his moods. That they if he hasn't noticed, that they withdraw when he goes into a certain stretch. So as a result, you know, either you or maybe one of them could point this out to him.
Yeah, is it normal for, or is this just his personality, that they would be in denial when they're in the good time and unreachable when they're in the bad time? That's kind of what our biggest
problem.
That's
pretty typical.
So how do you, I mean, if he's in denial when he's good and unreachable when he's bad, how can I ever talk to him? That's the thing.
Well, as I say, in talking to him, you may have to use the angle of the relationship.
Pull out the heavy gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're messing up the kids' minds. You got to go see somebody.
Yeah, it would be helpful. And be careful, because he's going to be defensive if you imply something's wrong with him.
Well, it's not just defensive. We don't know. I mean, we're like, okay, we don't want to put, because the problem is you can only talk to him when he's good, right? And then if I talk to him, like if I get in the slightest fight with him when he's in a good mood, the kids get mad at me because I send him back into the hole. And they're like, Mom, can't you hold your fights for when he's bad anyway?
I think it's interesting to see whether medication would help him, and if it would, that he would be a different person.
Well, he's been on Zoloft off and on for 15 of the 20 years of marriage, but he's just under, and when we're looking at cyclomethylamine, Zoloft isn't even one of the preferred medicines for that, but he kind of picked that one himself, and they've stuck with it, because it does help. But, like I mentioned, lithium, and because he just went to his family practitioner and got more Zoloft, and I said, maybe you should ask him about the lithium, and he wouldn't even talk to him about it.
Well, you're seeing the theme. The theme is, I'll somewhat admit that something's wrong because I'll take the medication.
Right.
However, I won't really admit all that's wrong because, one, I'll take only the medication I want to take, and two, I won't go any further with anything else.
Because it might actually involve personality stuff that's really nothing to do with the depression.
That's
right?
What you're dealing with,
that's stuff that we all have to work on.
Right, that's what you're dealing with. Okay. So hopefully using the kids, you might be able to get him to sit up and take notice. And if not, Kelly, then, well, 20 years will possibly go to 25. Who knows, you know.
If nothing else, I'm going to get him to a good family retreat in sometime. I'm holding out for 25th anniversary if I stick with it that long. Not that I wouldn't.
That'll be your request.
If I don't lose my mind. For our 25th anniversary, we're going to go to a family retreat where we can go to spiritual counseling every day.
Good for you. Thanks, Callie.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you. Well, she's got a better idea for a gift than I did. Our 25th, my wife and I had our 25th a little bit back. And I asked her point blank. I said, honey, you want a new pair of ball cleats? You want a gift card to the Golden Corral Buffet? Or do you want a new tire iron jack set? Because you got to give them choices. You can't just... Guys are not sensitive. They just go buy something, and it's not right for their wives. You got to give them options. One Christmas, I gave her switchplates. A whole variety of switchplates for the walls and things. And some of them were very pretty. And I thought, hey, which ones of these do you want? Bob from Bakersfield. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
How are you? Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Sorry to hear about your dad.
Oh, that's all right. He was 87 years old, so he had a good long life.
Yeah, that's a great comfort in all of it.
Yep. Yeah. And I've got a 6-year-old that I'm not sure if I should take to the viewing. My younger ones, I'm probably not going to take because they really didn't know my dad. We've moved out of the state, but my older boy, he knew him a little bit, and I wasn't sure if I should take him to the viewing or not, or how that would.
What would stop you?
Well, you know, he's just finding out about death right now, and he doesn't really completely understand it, and I'm just afraid it might, like, freak him out or,
mm-hmm.
you a nightmare? I don't know.
Yeah, chances are it won't. He's a six-year-old little boy who has a loving daddy who is
sure.
there to answer some questions. And you can also prepare him. You can say, honey, when somebody passes away, we pray that they go to be with God. When you get older, that's a great blessing because you've lived a long, long time. Grandpa lived a long, long time.
Uh-huh.
Now, when people have the funeral, what we call the funeral, that means you get together and you say you have a mass for Grandpa, and then you have people come through and that knew him and to comfort you and to talk to you. Sometimes they show the body. Now, Grandpa's soul is not there. Grandpa's not there. But that is his body. And it's kind of one final look at Grandpa. It's what he looked like, sorta. And that's okay. And usually what we do is we say a little prayer by the casket for Grandpa. And then that'll be it. That body of his won't come back to him until the end of the world. Now, I tell you, if it were me, I had a six-year-old who was close, I'd take him. My son Peter, when his grandfather died, was I think Peter was six, maybe seven. No doubt. No doubt we took him, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well,
okay,
thank you very much.
You're welcome. Matter of fact, Peter kind of understood, because my uncle, Uncle Dominic, and anybody who's an Italian knows that if somebody's name is Dominic, the rule is you have to call him Dunk, okay? Well, we called him Uncle Dunk, and he died when he was 89. My son Peter was about three at the time, three or four, maybe four. And his sister Mary was a year older. We were driving, I believe we were driving to the funeral mass, the night before had been calling ours. Mary said, Mommy, is Uncle Dunk in heaven? And my wife, being the more theologically sound of the two of us, said, well, we pray that he is. We pray that he was at peace with God. My son Peter, who was four, who had been to calling hours, and who obviously was traumatized by it, because he turned and said to his sister, no, he's not in heaven. He's in a box at the church. I saw him. We got to work on that boy's sensitivity. Okay, when we come back, John, you're up next. Doctor is in, 877-573-7825. He was in a box, sort of.
The doctor is in. Now, don't you feel better?
Greetings and God's blessing. This is Father John Carapi inviting you to join me at the HSBC Arena in Buffalo, New York on August 15th for a powerful conference on the Holy Spirit. If you feel called to make a difference for the Lord Jesus and His church in your family, in your neighborhood, and indeed in the whole world, then this is a once-in-a-lifetime event you won't want to miss. We can no longer afford to stand by and watch our country decline, our children and families be threatened, and our church suffer from persecution and scandal. This conference, entitled The Person and Power of the Holy Spirit, will energize and equip you to embrace your call from God to transform our culture, our country, and our world.
To join Ave Maria Radio on this three-day pilgrimage, call Corporate Travel at 313-565-8888 or on the web at ctscentral.net.
God bless you and see you in Buffalo.
Republicans should take note.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
It is no secret that the base of the Republican Party has had to fight to keep the party platform pro-life. And after the last election, minority abortion advocates in that party declared a vindication of their anti-life views. Not so fast. GOP leaders across the country should take note of the recent polls revealing that the pro-life position is strengthening the Republican Party. It's time to abandon the blame pro-lifers first approach for GOP losses. If Republicans want to improve their chances, standing on the side of life is one of the best decisions they can make.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
shot.
A booster shot only lasts so long. You got to keep getting them. But the good thing about them is you don't have to get them quite in the intensity that you might have gotten the first time around because your body reaches therapeutic levels. That's what we're hoping to do with this program. You reach a therapeutic level of living a better life, a more holy life. If you live a more holy life, you're going to live a better life. Kind of the way God designed it. Do it His way, things get better. Do it our way. I'm Ray Guarendi. Website, drray.com. DRREY.com. Return to your phone calls in a moment. I learned about a psychotherapeutic technique that involved going back and reliving, re-experiencing the birth trauma. Going from one environment, a dark, wet, safe place, well, used to be safe anyway, into a radically different sensory experience. And there were these theoretician types who speculated that this was traumatic for the child. And we had to learn the various theories, no matter how far-fetched they were. But I realized, you know, I shouldn't have dismissed it all so quickly. Because I did have a bit of a trauma in my very earliest days of life. When I turned 2, I remember being very anxious because I had doubled my age in 1 year. And I thought then, if this keeps up, by the time I'm 6, I'll be 90, which is a heavy load. Heavy, heavy load for a kid to carry. John from Virginia. Hi, John. It's Dr. Ray.
Hey, Dr. Ray.
You're going to give your niece a promise ring.
Yeah, I had a question for you about that. I'm an uncle. I'm a single uncle. I have 3 wonderful nieces. One's age 10. One is age 8. One's age 6. And I don't know when kids start, you know, getting around that age these days, but I wanted to give the oldest one, and especially the one who's 8, she's very special to me. I wanted to give them a promise ring. Their parents were baptized in the Catholic Church. Their parents are Catholic, though neither one practices, so they do still go to some sort of Protestant church. I think all the children were baptized in the Catholic Church.
But well, in this case, might not be a promise ring then. It might be sort of a, consideration ring. Think about it ring. for those of you who don't know, promise rings are basically chastity rings. They, as I understand it, they are essentially, I'm promising to God that I'm going to stay pure until my wedding. Correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, I'm pretty sure with the 8-year-old, she would be receptive to that. I've spoken to her about God before. She believes in God. She loves Jesus. And then I know she's kind of a special child. She has a faith, even though they haven't really. She goes to church, and she's expressed a devotion, I think, that's greater than mine.
I see. I think what you're looking to do is to get a religious foot in the door with your nieces. And right now, the parents, first of all, they would look, and I don't know where they're at in terms of their children's worldliness, but they may look at this and say, oh, whoa, 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 this is not an issue we have to bring up with an 8-year-old, and maybe not even with a 10-year-old. So this is not something that is, the timing is bad here, John. Even
well,
if they,
I wasn't going to try it with an 8-year-old. I was going to wait till.
Yeah.
I don't know about, see, because when kids start getting into this, when it was my age, it would be around 13 that kids start.
Well, here's the thing. The bigger question. If you're considering this, you better talk to the parents first. You better tell them, this is what I was thinking, but I wanted to run it by you guys. They may view it in all kinds of ways that you don't intend. They may view it as a commentary on their parenting. They may view it as you trying to push Catholic religion on their kids who aren't Catholic anymore. They may view it as you implying that their children are going to go the direction of much of the adolescent group, which would be to struggle with chastity. They may not like what you're saying. Now, if someone says, yeah, but Dr. Ray, wait a minute, we're called to speak up the truth. Yes, that's true. But this, again, is stepping into parenting turf. And if you're going to do it, you need to get the parents to say, John, I think that's great. I like that. It's a great idea. Or, well, I don't have any objections to it. I'm not real excited about it, but if you did it, I wouldn't have any objections to it. I just ask you to wait until she's 13. So my suggestion, John, is you got to clear some debris with the parents first.
All right, great. Thanks.
Okay, buddy. Thank you. Well, yeah. It's true. Joe from Michigan. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine here. My daughter's name is Joanna. We call her Joe, too. Call her Joe.
That's what mine is.
Yeah, Joanna? Yeah. Now, do you know where you are in the Bible?
No, I really don't.
You didn't think your name was biblical?
I mean, I did think it was biblical, but to specify a specific location, I'm not that well-versed.
You were pretty special. You know why?
Why?
Were one of the women at the tomb.
Oh, really?
You know, see that? You should feel a little more cocky now, huh? Your namesake is a little holier than you thought. Yeah, you're not an average Joe anymore, huh? That a girl. So you're going on a family vacation, which is usually pretty good for breaking up families. And
well, no, we don't want to break up families. We want to bring them together and allow, you know, the cousins to have a great time together and enjoy each other's company.
Well, that'd be good and easy if their parents weren't there.
It would make it somewhat simpler, so yeah.
What is the difference in your, is it your brother or sister?
It's my sister.
Okay, in your sister's parenting style that gives you pause for concern?
Well, I can't call out one specific thing. She recently has gone through a divorce, and her children and my children absolutely adore each other and love each other. Her children become very much more wild and non-attentive or not listening when she is in the presence of us. If she's out of the equation, they're very well-mannered. They listen. You tell them stop, they stop.
How old are they?
12, 10, 8, and 5.
Okay. So if you're there, you're not concerned about it, but if she's there, you are concerned about it because everybody could get cranked up.
Well, that's my concern. Is one, my husband and I start to get cranked up because things start to get wound up. We are parents that stay actively present with our children and try and...
Hey, I'm actively present with mine, too. I tell them, don't make noise, you'll wake me up.
Well, so we're, like, what we'll do is if the kids are out playing, one of us is usually within eye shot to see what's going on, how they're behaving, what they're doing, and how they're interacting. We'll actually get involved with them. And if we find that we step away from that, a lot of times the chaos can happen, and injuries can occur, and, you know, it's almost like there's not a thinking process that goes on.
Well, they get swept along. They get swept along.
Yeah, and they just get all wound up and excited about it, which we totally understand.
Probably safe to say that your sister is a little overwhelmed by all of this, and she's not able to stay on top of things discipline-wise, supervisory-wise, cultural-wise, and her kids are... Yeah, they're a little more exposed to things than yours. So, given that, I would suggest that two things. One, if you can, keep the unsupervised moments to a minimum.
Okay.
So that you realize this is not something where I can say, okay, we're going to stay up here, all you guys go downstairs and swim in the pool. Because in a matter of 12 minutes later, you'll hear the, woo!
Right.
And the cops will come in. Two, you're probably going to have to discipline your kids in full view of her for things that her kids should have been disciplined for, but which she won't.
We do that. Yeah. And then usually she'll say, oh, they're just being kids. Let them be.
Well, she can say what she wants. You know?
But then
I would just say, I'm just being a parent. Let me be. I wouldn't say that. But I think of it. I think of all kinds of things I don't say. That's which is bad, you know? If they didn't come into my head,
well, like
I wouldn't have to fight
them off.
Well,
like one time she commented that, you know, when you say stuff like that, it's as if you're telling me that I'm a bad parent. I'm like, I wasn't even directing it to you.
You didn't hear my monologue today, did you?
No.
My monologue was, what is criticism? And criticism is oftentimes somebody being upset with us because we're doing it differently than they do it, and they are threatened by it because the way we do it, they see it as commenting on them. That's exactly what she's doing.
And what do you do or comment?
You're not
offending them.
I will give you the best way to not offend her. You ready? Foolproof.
Yeah.
It'll work every time. Don't discipline your kids. That's the only one I know of that's foolproof. Short of that, when you step in and discipline your children, she's going to take it as, well, you obviously think that behavior is wrong because you're disciplining your kids, and my children are doing the same thing, and I don't think that behavior is wrong. So are you commenting on my permissiveness as a parent? Yeah, probably, but you can't say anything. So what I would do, dear, is just stiffen up your spine and realize you're going to probably, and it's going to get worse as the kids get older, probably have to step in a lot and discipline your kids in front of her, and she is going to feel insecure about it. And you need to be very kind and affirming. You need to tell her, well, you know, if your parenthood didn't stink as bad as it does, I wouldn't have to do this. Okay, maybe you shouldn't say that. Thank you, Joe. Good luck to you. Martha, you're first up, okay? First up. Andrew will remember. He's like that. He holds on to these things. This is Dr. Ray Guarendi. Thanks for joining me here on The Doctor's Inn. Good Lord permitting, tomorrow be filling in for Colleen. Walk with God. You got kids. Hold them tight by the hand. Don't worry what the others say.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. A House committee defeated a pro-life amendment designed to stop President Barack Obama's plan to fund abortions in the nation's capital with taxpayer dollars. The House Appropriations Committee voted largely along partisan lines to keep the pro-life ban from coming back. Pro-life advocates must now get the full House to agree to a debate and vote on the amendment. You can respond and help. See our website, lifenews.com, for how. The Senate Judiciary Committee is set to begin hearings on Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor Monday. Though Republican lawmakers are grumbling about the accelerated hearing process and not having enough time to review last-minute documents, they are allowing the hearing to move forward. Sotomayor was a board member leading a group that supports unlimited abortions. This is Life News Radio. The oldest organization offering help for women with emergency pregnancies was started in Toronto in 1968 and has hundreds of offices now in the U.S. and around the world. Birthright is ready for your call 24/7. When you know someone who needs support or if you're ready to help, call the Birthright hotline, 800-550-4900, 800-550-4900. The White House